library. Thank you very much. And so I'm turning over to you, Miss Elizabeth. Thank you once again for your service.
Wonderful. Thank you. No worries. Can you just confirm with me how much time I have?
I'm so sorry. You could speak upwards to 45, 7:45. Is that
Okay.
okay?
Gotcha. Yeah. No worries. So thank you so much, Michael, for asking me to come and share today. My clean date is I am 7 years and 7 months exactly today, due to Narcotics Anonymous. And the 7 years and 7 months was no picnic, you know. It really is interesting how fast things do happen, and it is a testament to how quickly this program can change at any time, which gives me hope when I'm at my lowest, knowing that there will be something different, you know, in an hour from now or the next day or the next year or what have you. I know that one of the challenges I tend to have in NA is I feel a lot of isolation. You know, my disease is always there. You know, my disease works 24/7. So when I come to meetings or I hear people talk about family and kids and all of that, I feel like an alien on another planet. You know, I'm like a deer in headlights. I'm listening to them talk and I just do not get it, because I never had that luxury. You know, I come from You know, I was from an alcoholic father who didn't know how to love, and I was with a narcissistic mother who told me I didn't love her enough. So there was no actual support or nurturing, really. And so that's where my c consistency of not being enough came, and that's where my addiction came. I know as I was getting older, I tried to, it was all about having people accept me. I would do whatever it took to be accepted. When I was an addict before I even knew what an addict meant, you know, and not just drugs with them, but that was actually the last thing I did. I ruined so many people's lives just so I could have that 1 second or 1 minute of being the most important thing to them in their life. I would chase people. I would do whatever it took to have a connection with someone. And as soon as I had that connection, as soon as they looked at me and said, "Yes, you are important," I would slam the door and say, "Thanks," and then I'd run, get the hell out of there. Because that's all I knew was temporary, acceptance. And so, I was pretty much even going into school, and I was very open. You know, I didn't know I was LGBTQ, whatever you want to call it. I just knew that I, loved deeply. Even as a young kid, I remember my father saying, "You know, you're too thin. You feel things too deeply." I'd be the one connecting, looking at a leaf or a flower, and some other kid would be listening to the radio station or watching some brainless movie, and I just couldn't relate, you know. And so I was beat up on a lot by a lot of bullies, both girls and boys. Usually it was girls. A lot of beating up before school, during school, after school. Boys would just sit and would watch and laugh. The teachers didn't really get involved back then. You know, they were just like, stay out of the way. And every time I tried to parent telling parents was a whole other thing. They really didn't care, you know. It was kind of like too bad, so sad. Let me tell you more how worthless you are. So I say all this because it wasn't exactly that when I came to NA, it wasn't like as I was making amends and doing my steps and seeing all the damage I had done and all the damage that had been done to me and going, okay, this is all going to be fixed. You know, this is all going to be, it's all going to make sense in the end. And I'm going to be able to finally answer that age-old question, why? Why did this happen? You know? And I still today do not know why, and I'm very comfortable with that because of NA. I really don't need to know why. And there are times, yes, where I'm very cranky and selfish, and I go, you would think that the person who bullied me their whole life would at some point grow up and be sitting in their home one day with their family and children and their grandchildren and sit on a couch, look out a window and go, wow, you know, I remember when I was younger, I really hurt that one girl. I think I should reach out to her and tell her I'm sorry. Yes, that would be a fantasy. That would be lovely, wouldn't it? I mean, if everyone that hurt us actually thought about us and went out of their way to show up at our door and say, you may not remember me, but I treated you like absolute crap, and I'm here to say I'm sorry. And the thing is that there's two things that I find interesting about that. If that truly happened to me, because I'm an addict, I would not accept the apology. I be My whole life I've been waiting for an apology from people, so many people. And if any of them were to come to me today and apologize, I'd slam the door in their face and say, you know, fuck you. I don't want to hear that apology, you know. And then I'd start, I'd just sit there and stew about how dare they? How dare they apologize to me? You know, they hurt me so much. That's just so awful. And my disease would just be going to town on it. So I'd basically run from that. Another thing is that I tried to make amends to the people I had hurt various times in my life. And I guess I was obviously doing it wrong because I thought that that meant I would feel better or that I would be able to see the another side to my disease and or at least have somebody that I make amends to say thank you for sharing that with me. But I didn't think about it. I just did it too fast. You know, I made amends to people very quickly and I got a lot of hate back, a lot of hate. I got a lot of, you know, fuck you, you're a loser. You know, I don't, you know, you've always been selfish. We want nothing to do with you. You know, just a lot of things where my disease would take all of that and say, see, I told you, you're alone, you're completely on your own. No one cares about you, everyone hates you, and you're going to be a, you know, completely, you know, done for the rest of your life. And I would my third and fourth year is when I stopped. I guess I'm a little diff abstract, or what do you want to call a little different when I do the steps. I have to remember that because my first sponsor, I asked to get a sponsor. And again, I did it without thinking. I found a sponsor who told me to stop all medication, all drugs, everything, absolutely everything. And I was desperate, so I believed it. And I stopped my antidepressant medication, my anxiety medication, all sorts of things. And I was going through withdrawals. She kept telling me, it's okay, you know, you get through it. You've got a whole group of people who love you and are here for you. They will be here for you as you go through it. It's don't worry, things will change. And then 2 months later, I was lying in bed and I was on the phone and I was looking up what vein I should cut that will leave the least amount of blood on the floor. And I was like, okay, I don't want to make too much of a mess. That would be so awful and hard. There's got to be a better way. And the phone rang, and it was my doctor. And he was like, I'm concerned you haven't picked up your medication. And I was like, yeah, I know. You know what? I have something to tell you. I'm in a new program. It's called Narcotics Anonymous, and I'm trying to get off all drugs, you know. I'm trying to be clean. I'm trying to live a better life. And yeah, you know. And he was like, okay, Elizabeth, I wish you had told me this because this is really dangerous for you to stop your medication like that. You have to get back on your medication. So then I'm like, okay. And then I call my sponsor, and my sponsor says, you take that medication, you've relapsed. I cannot help you anymore. And so, first of all, I've got my doctor pissed at me. I've got my sponsor mad at me. I've got everybody, I'm trying to make everybody in my life happy except me. And that's when I just stopped everything right then and there. And I said, I'm stopping NA. And I stopped NA for about 6 months. And I just took a break, basically. And I said, when I come back to NA, because NA, I believe in it, I'm going to do it my way. I'm doing this program for no one else but myself. I'm not doing it for you. I'm not doing it for the people who wrote it. I'm not doing it for any sponsors or any people that say that if no one's telling you today they love you, I love you. I'm not doing it for you. You can love me, what you can choose to do whatever you want in this program, but I'm still doing however I do my program for me, and that's just how it is. And so when that happens, it is very challenging to come and talk to people when you're going through so many memories and thoughts about how your whole life has been people telling you how wrong you've been doing things, or how you are alone, you know, never been married, never had a partner. The person I was in love with, used and abused me. I call them energy vampires. I'm sure we know who those are. It very difficult. So many thoughts, so many fantasies. You know, I have those so many visions of what my life could be or should be. And when I think about what my life is now, my disease comes up and it says, I don't like it. You know, I don't want this life. But then I think about how this was the direction I had to choose because I had no other choice. You know, I was abusing drugs like crazy because I had no other choice. Or I thought I had no other choice. I came from a background where I had no doors open for me. I had no money put aside for college. I had no money put aside for dreams. I had nobody pay for me to get a car, you know. There was no family support or relatives of like, hey, we're going to help you move your couch to your new apartment. Nothing like that. I can't even relate with those types of things. It blows my mind today of when I hear people say, oh, I talked to my daughter today. I'm just like, what the fuck? You know, I don't even know what that's like. You know, I have no clue. And yet at first I thought that meant I didn't belong here, but now it reminds me. So when you're left on your own, like I am, how can you follow your dreams? How am I supposed to live the life that I know I want when I don't have that stereotypical support, or there are no doors opening, or I barely have any money to get by or even eat that day? You know, what do you tell someone though when those things are unachievable? And what I've learned in NA is it's because of my higher power, which is the first thing that you learn in this program. And higher power for me is a combination of things, but it is that little girl still who's hiding today in a corner underneath a blanket and waiting. She's waiting to be seen. And she's still hiding. And I'm here protecting her in every way I can and trying to let her come out in certain times when it feels safe to be seen. And their visions, you know, their brief, very brief, fleeting moments being in a new life that others are seeing, but still being misunderstood, still being alone, even those new directions that I'm currently in. It also makes it doubly, sorry, I've got a sore throat. It makes it doubly worse when you're a very creative, artistic person. I'm left-handed. I'm in a right-handed world. I'm very tall, so I bump into things all the time. Very clumsy. I'm very creative, and I've always, you know, been into art and design. You know, I love writing. I've gotten awards for writing, but I could give a shit. I really don't care, you know. I have visions of people in my mind who have been in my past who I've loved deeply or wanted much, and I feel invisible. I think about them, thinking about me. I do believe in connections through our souls with each other, no matter how far someone is apart. You know, the human soul, I've learned through NA, certainly has an interesting progression. The acknowledgement that I have an old soul, that I've gone through many lives, which I have, is still aware and deep, and I know that it will change again. You know, I've had vivid dreams since I was 12, where I can see it. I can remember the smell of things, the shape of things, the color, the words that are said, the music, the sounds, the textures. Vivid dreams always keep me perplexed because everything about them is not real, but nothing about them is incorrect. It's the yet. You know, there's guilt, there's desire, and there's birth, and there's blood. Essence is like lingering at the beginning and the end of my day. And it's another day in NA for me as this happens. Another month, another summer, another acceptance, you know, and I still remain. And I can still dream even when I'm awake, you know, listening to music, staring out at something, the knowing that I can just stand up and follow my higher power is amazing because I don't know if people here are into math or science, but I think it's like 1 in 29 billion, I can't remember, when it comes to human sperm hitting ova, the fact that you actually are born on this planet is a miracle, that you actually made it through the human body and made it into this world is like, I mean, it's just amazing, you know. And knowing that I'm only here on this planet for so long, I don't say, oh, I'm just gonna not gonna be a dreamer. I don't say, oh, I'm gonna do everything in the world, you know, make my life mean something. I'm not gonna go down that road either. My life has meant something ever since I was born. And it always will continue to be. You know, dreams sometimes are as radical as real life events in NA. Some of them do mesh with, you know, life on life's terms, only because my whole life has been passionate love affairs with people, work, friendships, you know, groups, and then drugs, of course. Love is an interesting keyword too, because it's a stamp in the human condition for that. We have to, in order to face a certain way for us to be happy, we need to feel love. And for me, love, when I feel it, It's not happy, but it's not sad. It's just real. And some days I'm so mad that I have love. It's just too real. And then there are some days, usually in meetings, where I'm so glad that I can feel it because it's very real. And it's all because of Narcotics Anonymous. And I feel that the emotions that I get from hearing shares and from doing the steps and from being of service every day, I feel all of these things are a part of me, but they're parts that do not exist in the dictionary. There's no way I could ever explain how I feel about who I am, knowing that my disease is right there consistently. I can't just put, flur to like a part of the book in a dictionary and be like, that's it right there. It's that's not going to happen. And basically I just kind of go through it. So, always been the kind of person that could see people at their core. And that can be difficult in Narcotics Anonymous, but it's nice too, because it gives me hope. Because I don't hear the share and the I don't hear like the worded the verbiage where someone's saying, oh, I'm so happy today, I got a new job and we got a new house and then I got a new car and then my kids are here and da 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 da. And I'm not really hearing any of that. I'm usually just hearing the energy and the passion behind what the words are saying. And even if they're saying, and even if it's a negative share, which is totally, I mean, I don't know why we are in a society that likes positivity so much. No one runs around with a car saying honk if you're depressed. I mean, it's not a thing that, seems to be accepted, having different emotions. But I think in NA, this is the only place where an addict can come and say, hi, I'm feeling miserable. And we get it. Welcome home. You're here. We're here with you while you're feeling it. And that gives me hope because I will continue for the rest of my life while I'm alive, going through all of these wonders and curiosities. So, because the just for today is the says it's I think it's the when we stop living in the here and now, our problems become magnified unreasonably. That is true because we can't help it. We do have a brain, so it likes to go places. And yes, living in the moment offers freedom. But we, I do have a disease. I am an addict, and I will always be wondering what might happen tomorrow. But as long as I remember when I first started getting clean, the main things, which is my belief in my higher power, and remember I'm doing this program for no one but me, and to embrace fear as much as I can. And that means if a door opens that looks very scary to go through, but my higher power is there, I'm going to go through it. And since I'm a visual person, I'll leave you with the image of like, imagine you're on the edge of a cliff that's over an ocean, very high cliff. You have two choices. You can stay there on that cliff, being anxious and stressed and putting all sorts of things in your head about what's going to happen to you. Next thing you know, a year has gone by and you're still standing on that cliff going, I don't know if I should do this or not. There's just too many things. There's too many arguments. You've got a whiteboard behind you of all these diagrams of why you should and why you shouldn't, Or you can just do the Indiana Jones thing, close your eyes, take the step off and see what happens. Because there's nothing worse than just being complacent. because I was complacent for many years in my recovery. And I'd rather just take that step into the unknown and learn more about what I can do with my clean time. And like I said at the beginning, it's never fun. It's not a picnic, but I do certainly learn a lot. And I'm grateful that I'm able to learn. So I know I've said quite a bit in this share, probably a lot of esoteric stuff, but I'm just grateful that I am here and in the here and now. And I did have to learn meditation to do that. I'm not a religious person, but I am a spiritual person. And I did learn a lot in the first year about learning how to close my eyes and breathe in and out, do all that typical stuff you hear about. And then, of course, a half hour later, I'd be pissed off again for something stupid, but it does work for me. So, anyway, I'll stop there. And I'll just say that, for anyone who's not sure, where they're at in their recovery, because we're kind of shown like the blueprints, but the real meat of the recovery is yours own and yours only. And however you use it to learn about recovery and how to use it to better your life could be full of shortcomings. It could be full of relapses. It could be full of people angry at how you're doing it. It could be full of, relatives, family members, kids, and stressed, upset, whatever, This is life on life's terms recovery. So, and I'm glad that I'm in a program that changes like that. I'm just glad that it changes like that. Anyway, thanks for letting me share all this, and I'll stop there.